Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com. Hey everyone, Lisa Resnick here at the Holmes & Hops podcast studio. I am sitting here with Justin Coffin. With 330 Sports, Project MKC. Anything else that needs to be added to the list?
No, I mean, I generally keep busy doing a lot of different things, but right now I'd say those two cover it.
Nice. So we're doing something a little different today in the podcast studio. So it's still dry January for me, but that doesn't mean other people can't enjoy the delicious flavors of our brew in the area. So I thought we would find out, because how often do you ever hear people pairing their sweet treats with a nice beer?
Right.
Not very often.
Not often, no.
So Justin is going to be our taster today, and let's see if I did a good job of beer pairing.
For sure.
So the one that is the milkshake IPA is a Birdfish. It's super galactic, extra locious. I love their names.
Yes, extra locious.
There we go. So, and we have cupcakes from Kim's Confections that is located in the center of the city of Canfield, which is also one of the first treats we received as a family when we moved here. My husband's company in DC wanted to reach out to a local business and welcome us to Canfield, which is ironic because they're from DC, but we're appreciative because that's what opened our eyes and we learned about Kim's Confections. So that's what we have. We have her raspberry swirl, since you chose vanilla over chocolate.
Okay. Yeah. It looks amazing. Looks amazing. Should I go for it?
Yes. Well, and then the other one that we have is the collaboration between Crooked Tongue and Birdfish, and it's called Are We There Yet? And that's the one that's in the small can. So I'm just assuming that one has the higher.
And I got to say, this can too, just awesome.
Isn't it very cool?
Yeah, it looks like a piece of art. It's very cool.
It's so cool. And I love it because they usually bring in local artists as well to be able to do their designs. They really hone in on anything local that they can support, which is pretty awesome. All right, give it a try.
All right, so.
So this one's the milkshake IPA.
Milkshake's great.
All right, now he gets to dive into the Kim's Confection.
I'm always a little bit weird about eating or drinking on a mic. I don't want it too over the top.
So I do have my cupcake too. Just because I gave up beer and wine and everything else doesn't mean I give up my sweets.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Is it good?
Oh yeah.
Good comparison?
Very good.
So you would pair that if you were at home watching a game and you're like, you know, I'm done with the nachos and cheese. I want something sweet.
Oh yeah.
You would be
That's a good combination.
There you go. Did you want to try it with the other one? I'm going to make you.
All right, yeah, let's go for it. Why not?
I'm going to make Justin and drunk.
I'm being forced to eat and drink over here. I can't complain.
Is that one okay?
Yeah, they're both excellent. I definitely would, if I had my choice, I'd go with the milkshake one with the cupcake, but you can't go wrong either way, I think.
How does the Are We There Yet taste? It said it was a blueberry. Is it a sour?
Let me taste it one more time here. Yeah, there's a little bit of a fruit vibe to it. I mean, it's a little bit more bold, but yeah, I could definitely see a little bit of blueberry in there.
That's a darker ale, which could be because of the blueberries.
And I'm not a beer connoisseur like you are. I mean, I drink them, but
I am not a beer or wine connoisseur. I just consume a lot of both, and hence the reason why I need to do dry January.
I am participating, I guess, in wet January. I have not cut off my alcohol consumption.
Well, you know, I don't think really because of the pandemic and everything, I don't think any of us really dove into December like we normally do. Like,
sure.
from Thanksgiving all the way to New Year's, you have all those holiday parties and gatherings that we typically do, that we do, we can be a little excessive with, which is totally fine by me. It's the holiday season. But this year was a little bit less, so I know there's a lot less people doing Dry January.
Yeah, to me, you know, that's the biggest, you know, you feel for the small businesses and restaurants and
yes,
everyone really in general. But, you know, the thing I think you miss most is just getting together with your family and friends like you normally would.
I cannot wait until we are vaccinated and back out there. Mm-hmm. Creating chaos in the world.
Yeah. What do you think once, you know, I guess a certain percentage gets hit with the vaccine, or once, you know, it's deemed safe again?
Yes.
Do you think people are just going to go crazy?
Potentially. It's kind of like when you finally turn 21 to drink.
Right.
Usually your 21st birthday doesn't end well by that evening.
That's a good point.
So you could have that impact.
Mm-hmm.
First, those, as you know, in Europe, where they can start drinking at a much younger age, sure. Typically by 21, they're like, whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's old hat by that.
They get excited about getting their driver's license then. Mm-hmm. So it's a little reverse effect. But it'll be interesting to see. I'm hoping that no matter whether we've hit that percentage number, which I'm not even sure what it is, that no matter what, once we have the warmer weather, we'll be able to be outside again.
Yes.
Because one thing has proven to be true is when you're outside and you're with people, it doesn't contract as fast as it does if
sure.
you're indoors with people.
Right.
So I say we all get just heat lamps outside everywhere and we just drink and be merry.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy the snow and pretend like it's warm out.
I'll sign up for that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We can do it. People do it all the time in other areas where it's always cold.
Exactly.
So just want to talk about where you arrived at Project MKC.
Mm-hmm.
So that is your mom,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
What a great role model to have.
She, you know, my sister and I, who a lot of people know, my sister, Shelley Marlowe, you know, we didn't necessarily have the easiest childhood growing up. You know, my mom went through a couple bouts of, or one bad bout of breast cancer and, you know, being a single mom and, you know, working two jobs while going through chemotherapy and, you know, just, we had a tough go of it for a while, but, you know, more specifically my mom did, but she always did the best she could for us. And, but then, you know, now seeing where she's at and what she's accomplished, all she wants to do, she is probably the greatest role model that I can think of because of she is the most selfless person. She just wants to give to others. And,
yeah.
You know, I think that's really what Project MKC is all about, you know, especially with kids and families and, you know, filling in the gaps of where, you know, kids might not necessarily have their needs met.
Yep.
And, you know, along with our families. So I'm extremely proud of her and, you know, my sister and I, you know, like to attribute, we wouldn't be where we are today without her.
That's absolutely phenomenal. And to have that it's amazing. And I always say when things happen that are hard in people's lives, you mm-hmm. can either go two directions. You can either let it envelop you mm-hmm. and take you down, even when things are better, or you can sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to utilize this and take it into and envelop it, but turn it into something positive.
Exactly.
And makes you stronger.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think it does. I think it gives you a bit more perspective
mm-hmm.
of the world and what we can do as just a singular person to impact it.
Right.
And she really has impacted in a positive way. And so are her kids.
Well, yeah. And, you know, for me, I'm sort of still, you know, getting my grasp and, you know, finding my place in the organization. I get to do, it's really cool because I get to do a lot of great things that directly impact the community. And, you know, we work with mostly the partners, so we don't necessarily work with the kids and the families, but we get to hear like secondhand a lot of times, yeah. Like, well, you know, you guys just made this family's Christmas. And you know, just a month ago, you know, we adopted, it was somewhere around 200 families and over 400 kids.
Oh, wow.
That were directly impacted. And, you know, that goes, it's not without our community support as well, which we wouldn't be able to do it without, you know, the awesome community that we do have. Because, you know, Youngstown, it's a very diverse place. You know, there's a lot of people that have a lot to give and are willing to give, but there's also, you know, the other end of the spectrum where people are struggling and they need that extra help. So it's great to have that community support of people that, you know, put themselves out there and help, you know, an organization like ours, and therefore we can help the families and kids that need help. So that's a great feeling.
It is a good feeling. Mm-hmm. And we are very lucky to be in an area that we can see that community support, and you don't feel like you're one of a million people. Like, you know that you are making an impact with your neighbor.
Exactly.
And which is pretty awesome, because the more we succeed as a whole, the better we'll be and the stronger we'll become. So that, at least, it's my thought.
No, quote that. Put that on a t-shirt. That sounds
great. I
probably
read it someplace else and it just stuck with me.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
But So explain the 330 sports. Were you pretty athletic?
Well, yes and no. I think I hit more of, you know, I played a little bit of each sport in high school, but not I was not very good in high school. I was just sort of like, you know, your average player. And I didn't put a lot of effort into it. I actually started working when I was 16 years old. So I played a lot of baseball. I played baseball up until I was probably like 20 years old. You know, in summer leagues and a little bit at the high school and stuff like that. Basketball is obviously my favorite sport, to coach. I was a coach and played a little bit. And football is probably my favorite sport to watch. I only, can I give you about a 2-minute quick story here?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, freshman year, Boardman High School, you know, I'm playing football. I had never played football before.
Did you play at Boardman?
Just my freshman year.
Okay.
I'm going to get into this story. So my freshman year, I had never played in middle school. You know, you play in the backyard for fun.
Yes.
And with your friends and stuff. So I go out and I make the team, and, you know, I'm kind of like a backup wide receiver and a backup cornerback, like a defensive back. And, you know, I'm pretty athletic, but I'm probably the same height. You know, I was probably about 6'2 then, but I was probably about 135, 140 pounds. So
nice.
I was a very, very skinny kid.
Yes, that is pretty skinny.
So, I, you know, I kind of got pushed around a little bit, and I didn't necessarily have that mindset of toughness yet. You know, that's something I think that takes a little while to develop, but yeah. So anyway, you know, we get a couple games into the season, and I actually, was in a practice, you know, I'm going to make a tackle, and I actually cracked part of my what's the big bone in your leg? The femur.
Yes.
Part of my femur, and
Holy cow.
A little bit of cartilage got stuck in there, so I tore some cartilage too. And
so, just real quick, the femur is one of the most difficult bones to crack.
Well, it was a little, just a hairline fracture toward, you know, right around the knee. And, you know, a little piece of cartilage got stuck in there and tore. So, you know, that kind of put me out for the season. And that kind of put me a little bit behind the eight ball for basketball. I wasn't able to play that year and this and that. But anyway, you know, just I still love the sport. I just never played football again. But I would still continue to play backyard football with my friends.
Okay.
And then my senior year, this is, people that know me know this story is not bullshit. This is probably one of the craziest things, because I half remember it and half have been told about what happened. So,
oh, wow.
So we're just playing backyard football. It was, and I still remember the day, it was January 2nd of the year 2000. So I was 18 years old at the time, and, you know, we're just playing, and then going to make a tackle or something like that. Me and another one of my friends just absolutely full speed collide, hit heads. I get completely knocked out.
Oh, wow.
Completely knocked out. I ended up breaking 14 bones in my face.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I had two different surgeries. You know, I broke my nose, part of my jaw, my right orbital completely shattered. Just some other bones, you know, here and there. But I ended up having to get reconstructive surgery where I had two plates put where my orbitals are, and there's 12 screws. So still to this day, I have that.
Holy cow. Yeah.
So that was a pretty messed up injury.
And so you get special privilege in the airports, don't you?
Well, I think it's like that astronaut plastic stuff where it won't set off the alarm.
Special privilege anymore.
No, no. So
this is a PSA to all moms out there that get concerned when their little boys are outside playing
right.
tackle football and they're like, oh, boys will be boys. Right. Now I'm like, hmm.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, for fun, go out, play catch, but put a helmet on when you're playing.
Yeah.
When you know, just play for your local high school team or whatever.
Yes. So this is always a point because I'm a boy mom. I have mm-hmm. two boys.
Yep.
And I do get fearful because I don't understand it. Like I don't get it. Like I don't understand the tackling, the need to like throw the ball or fight each other. Wrestling is fun. I don't get it. I really don't. I'm like, where's my little girls that I can dress up pretty and like that be it. So yeah. I mean, hopefully it'll work out for me in their teenage years. So you still always had a love for athletics.
Yes. You know, this is my first year I'm not coaching sports. I've been a basketball coach for 13 years at Boardman. You know, I started out coaching like a fifth grade travel basketball team. Then I started coaching at Glenwood Middle School. I coached seventh grade boys, then eighth grade boys. Then I moved up to the high school and I started coaching JV girls at Boardman. And then, you know, as of last year, I was the girls varsity head coach at Boardman
oh,
as
nice.
Well. So, yeah, so I, you know, with the pandemic and different things, that went into effect, you know, I took a little break from that and, you know, I'll get back into it eventually. But, you know, I think if I was going to do that and take a little break, this was probably the right year to do it with all the crazy stuff that's going on.
So when did 3-3-0 sports come up?
Yeah. So, sorry. I keep going away from your question there.
No, but, no. This is all good information.
So Joe Danier, he runs Youngstown Studios.
Yes.
Downtown. It's in the Commerce Building, right behind the YMCA. But him and I had, he almost sort of met with me a couple times, almost as like a mentor in the business type field. He's got his hands in a lot of different things. He owns a Youngstown computer and different things. And he told me he was putting this almost sort of like a radio podcast network together downtown. And if I'd be interested, and I said, hell yeah. You know, this was probably early summer, probably June. And I had been, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be coaching this year. And I wasn't even sure if there was going to be any sports this year with the pandemic. But once he said, hey, you know, I have kind of a variety show. I've got kind of a music show, a politics show. I'd like to get a sports show going. And he said, would you be interested? And I literally didn't even have to think about it. I was like, yeah, I'm in. So that's where that came from.
I'm a big fan of the Commerce Building in general.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good businesses in that building.
Yeah. It's beautiful,
and
too.
It is really beautiful. And if you come in, you have... He still scares me.
I don't
to this
know what
day.
That is. What, can you, do you have any background?
I don't know the background. I would love to find out, but they do. They have, I don't even, like some scary statue or whatever. He's not really scary. He just catches you off guard.
In a phone booth.
Yes, in a phone booth. You're like, what's happening?
And he's wearing a mask right now, too.
Yes,
so
I
nice
saw
little
that.
Detail.
I love it. But the studio is, it is a great studio. Mm-hmm. Like that whole setup is pretty awesome. Like if I didn't have this studio here, I'd be begging him to be able to record there because it is pretty legit.
Yeah, no doubt. And he actually, you know, you can pretty much, if anybody's down by the Commerce Building, you know, it's all glass windows.
Yes.
So you can see right in.
I know.
And see everything that goes on.
I think I waved to several people going before I came on with you. I think I waved at several different people anytime I go in and out of the building because there are other businesses there. Mm-hmm. You do have Healthy Community Partnerships that is located in there. You have Steel Light that is located in there. You also have the Mahoney Valley Junior League. Mm-hmm. These are all places that I've interacted with. So I constantly am going in and out of that building. So I do. I'm always waving at people that are sitting there.
And it's just such a cool space. It really is. Like, I had been in there once for maybe, to go into an accounting office or something like that. Yeah. But I didn't realize how cool of a space it actually was until we started recording down there.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. So what is the focus of 330 Sports?
Yeah. So, we call it the 330 Sports Show and more. So the focus is obviously sports.
Yes.
You know, there's generally a very strong vibe of sports, and I try to keep it mostly to the local teams that people follow, try to keep it regional at least to, for football, we're talking the Browns and Steelers, yes. The Buckeyes, for baseball, the Indians, Pirates, and for basketball, the Cavs and different things like that. But I try to also, mix in some fun topics. Mm-hmm. You were a guest of mine, but we've had some big names really too. We've had, Jim Tressel's come on, Kelly Pavlik's come on, I've different other people in the business world that I've interacted with. Or I think that are important local influencers, that are really doing some good stuff. So, I feel like if I just say a couple names, I'll be leaving somebody out. But, we're up to, my next show will be our 40th show already, and we just started in August.
So you have 2 shows per week.
Yes.
And you're able to watch it Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also
Now Twitter Live and YouTube.
Oh,
so
nice.
You have 3 outlets to watch it live. So Facebook, Twitter. Twitter, we just started that yesterday.
Yeah.
And then YouTube live. So
you were like, they're looking for customers again.
Right.
Twitter route.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, my show records on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m., and then, the next morning it's usually uploaded and available on, Apple or whatever podcast you listen to.
Anything, any platform mm-hmm. you can download it from. Now, local sports mm-hmm. around here is definitely prevalent, if you will.
Sure.
It is strong in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my husband's a New Yorker, Long Island New Yorker,
okay.
Where it might not be, lacrosse, yes,
mm-hmm.
But the other sports might not be as much as they are in our area.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the DC area where we live for over a decade, same deal.
Right.
And when we come back here for the holidays or for a visit, I would point to him. We'd be at like the Macy's counter during Christmas doing some shopping. I'd point to him and there'd be this kid there, probably like twice our size. And I'd be like, see that kid? He's probably a freshman.
Right.
But how would you explain the significance of our local sports and our community connectivity? Because it really does.
Yeah. I did read a stat once that said, per capita, the Youngstown-Warren area produces more NFL players than any other, town, city in the country. And you can see there's a lot of, football, I think, is probably what we're known most for.
Yes, our coaches.
And coaches, yeah, because, you have the Bob Stoops, the Jim Tressels.
Yes.
I mean, even Urban Meyer is from Ashtabula. You have a lot and, dozens of others. I'm just naming a couple names off the top of my head. But I think, with YSU football, with Ohio State football, with Mount Union football, people are really big and that's just, the college level, you go in the high school level, I think for a lot of people, it's a big tradition, Friday night football, Friday night.
It really
nights.
Is.
And, I would say outside of Texas, maybe Florida, Ohio is probably in that top 3, top 4, range of, probably the best places to watch high school football. So
it truly is. And I always say this, that when you get to the NFL level, I mean, I love watching NFL football, but it's not as much fun as watching college,
sure.
which is not as much fun as watching high school.
Right.
It's just their plays are much more creative, and it is interesting because you see them figuring things out on the field
yeah.
at the same time, and just, I mean, it's more visible to me to see their thoughts and how quickly they adjust mm-hmm. given the situation, which is pretty neat.
I think a lot of people really relate to high school sports, high school football. We'll just use it as an example because, you know, there always is that local, there's always that connection.
I mean, my kids go to Canfield and I still go to the Mooney Earthling games. Mm-hmm. I'm a Mooney grad, sure. but 100%. And I feel that's the case with a lot of people around here.
It's yeah.
like whether they have kids in the school systems, whether they even graduated from there, I really do feel like you have a large contingency of people here that will come out and support a good football team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, I really think it's ingrained in a lot of people's DNA.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and for, like, your kids are a little bit younger. They're not quite to high school yet.
Nope.
So they...
They can take their time.
Might, you know, if there's a neighbor around that might play football, they might look up to that kid.
Yes.
And then you go to a game and you see them play, and they think that kid's an NFL player in their
yes.
eyes. You know, so there's a lot of... there's a lot of good things you can take away from that as being a role model. And what I think, you know, people think sports and, you know, a lot of times there's a dumb jock associated with that connotation.
Maybe.
Sometimes. but, you know, for me, you know, being around a lot of different high school athletes the past decade, one thing I see is I think high school sports really instill a great work ethic.
Yes, they do.
You know, responsibility, things like that. You know, when I coached at Boardman, you know, I didn't have as much success in the wins loss department as I would have liked to. But the one thing I take away that I was most proud of is, you know, my girls were great in the community. And we were actually top 20 in the state in team GPA. We had a 3.88
oh, wow.
GPA, which ranked number 20 in the entire state of Ohio. So, you know, I think, you know, and that's attributed to them. You know, that's their work ethic. And I think sports, you know, already kind of, you know, it's like throwing gasoline on a fire a little
uh-huh.
bit. You know, you have to have that fire inside you. But those, you know, I think sports teaches you a lesson in the sense of, you know, like I said earlier, responsibility, hard work.
It does. It really does show that work ethic, learning to be a leader, learning
mm-hmm.
to be a team player,
sure.
like all those things that I think are really essential when it comes to how to be when you're an adult.
Right. Yeah.
You
and
know?
And you have to learn to deal with adversity as
yes.
well. You know, things are not going to go perfect.
Exactly. You have to learn to deal with losses.
Yep.
How to be a nice winner.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sportsmanship. And
yeah.
you're not always, you know, I think most teammates get along pretty well, especially with their teammates, but, you know, maybe their coaches. But there's going to be people that, you know, you don't always, you know, they're not your best friend or whatever.
Exactly.
And you got to, you know, you got to learn to put teamwork and you got to put
right.
any animosity aside and just go out there and, you know, you work for a common goal. So.
Exactly. That is perfectly said. So what would you think about, I got to talk about recent sports.
Mm-hmm.
In which, honestly, I never thought the Cleveland Browns Steelers rivalry ever died, but I guess it did.
Yeah.
That everybody's now asking the question, is it back again?
Well, I mean, I've been a lifelong Browns fan. I was, you know, the last time they were good, I was, you know, in elementary school. So, you know, it's been a long, long time. You know, I'm nearing 40 years old now. And, you know, so it's been 30 years or so since they began. So,
hey, listen, I'm a Dolphins fan. I'm there with you.
Dolphins were real competitive this year.
They were. I don't know. I think they've been saying that for the past couple of years with the Dolphins,
mm-hmm.
that they're looking good, and then it ends up not being a great season for one reason or another. I know that they even had the HBO special, which is, from my understanding, is also the kiss of death for any team as well.
Yeah.
But, I am hopeful that within the next 5 years, they will progress to the playoffs and maybe win a game in the playoffs. So
yeah, you got to nail the head coach, which the Dolphins have and the Browns have, and then the quarterback. You know, those are usually the two most impactful, you know, I want to say positions, but, you know, the head coach and the quarterback are sort of, you know, the yin and the yang of how successful you're going to be. So the Browns and Baker, I think, are, you know, and Stefanski there are a good match. And then Brian Flores, I want to say, is the Miami Dolphins head coach. He is, I think he's a solid head coach. And then Dolphins fans might not be sold on Tua yet.
No.
But
the answer is no.
So, you know, he had a lot of hype coming out of college, but, you know, I think the verdict is still out on him. But yeah, as a Browns fan,
we need a Mayfield.
Well, you got a high draft pick, don't you?
We do.
So
that's the one positive of a crappy season.
Well, actually, no, you got that pick is actually coming from Houston, who was awful this year.
Oh, so they swapped.
Yeah, so they have Houston's draft pick, so they're picking in number 4 or 5. So they're
going to. What is the draft?
The draft is usually towards the end of April.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Dolphins are going to either get help for Tua or
get
maybe work in somebody else instead of Tua. Yeah.
That's right.
So
do what the Giants did with Eli.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would be nice to bring in something like that.
Except Eli was about on crutches by the time he left. He was getting a little up there in age. So
I was actually at the first game Eli came out and played.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and it was, who was it? Warren? Warner?
Kurt Warner?
Yeah, that was the quarterback before.
Okay.
And they were booing him. This is New York. My husband's a Giants fan.
Mm-hmm.
And they were booing him pretty bad, which I don't agree with booing your team. I don't think that's right, but that's me. But they did. They had Eli come in, I think, the second half.
Okay.
And that's really, then Eli started coming out more and more and gone with Kirk and in with Eli. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they just skyrocketed there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they won 2 Super Bowls with them. And
yes, they did.
One, they even beat the Patriots with, you know, the Patriots were like 18-0.
I cannot stand the Patriots. Yeah. I can't stand. I don't even like saying his name. That's with Tampa right now. So
yeah, right.
But that's where I really cannot stand. But he's there, and he is talented, so
well, it's,
he's a crybaby.
What is he like? He's in his mid-40s, and
yes.
To be playing at that age in the NFL at a high level is really impressive. He's real big on that vegan diet.
Yes.
You know, and he's got a whole I've actually tried. I can't think of what it's called. It's all plant-based, and he's big on that.
There's a
purple carrot.
There's a Netflix documentary. And it is based upon, it talks about athletes and the vegan diet and actually does the blood testing and everything along with that. And it is actually a great documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, always just bear in mind that there's always factors with documentaries, no matter what, that is not being stated. So if that is something that you wanted to go into,
okay. The
documentary is awesome. Just make sure you're doing everything else that the documentary might not be telling you should be doing to get those results at the same time.
Okay.
But it's a great documentary. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
I wish I could remember the name. But the other question, so you do believe the Browns?
I do. The Browns are finally, you know,
you thought it was dead too?
Well, I've been a Browns fan, and, you know, that was that playoff game they won against the Steelers was the first time they won in Pittsburgh since 2003. So, you know, 18 years, 17 years, you know, and I'm also an Ohio State fan. So I'm on the other side of that coin with the rivalry with Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Ohio State, graduated from Ohio State. And I think right around then, my very first year at Ohio State was Tressel's second year.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
So it was kind of cool to see like the changing of the tide and, you know,
you got to see Tressel here.
Right, yeah.
And his national championship
year. Yeah, the very
here,
first year.
And then
my very first year at Ohio State was the national championship year. So
that's awesome.
Can't go, you know, can't get better than that.
No, you can't. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So my other question, my final question before we go to our rapid fire
okay.
is, what do you think about the 49ers and DeBartolo's headquarters being here.
Yeah.
And that impact to our area.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I can give a shout out to Denise.
Yeah.
Because I have known Denise since I was a little kid. Actually, you know, we had talked about my mom earlier in the show. Denise really helped out. Our family, she took my sister in while my you know, mom was going through surgery and things like that. And they were just always just awesome people. You know, so, you know, Denise is the one I know the best. But she, the coolest thing, and I'm sorry, I go off topic sometimes.
No, that's okay.
But the coolest thing, I love this about her. Like, she goes to Walmart, she goes to Giant Eagle and Boardman, and she, you know, she owns $1 billion franchise.
Right. Well, you have to be good with your money.
Right, yeah. She's a good shopper. She's saving her money. But I just think that's awesome for our community. And that just shows, you know, like right here in Canfield, you have an owner of, you know, you have one of 32 owners of an NFL franchise, which is very extremely rare. And, you know, people covet that, you know, having a franchise. Because it's basically printing money, you know, whether that team's successful or not. But so, you know, it's so cool to have those local ties. And, you know, Denise and the whole DeBartolo York family does so much for this community. They've done a ton for Project MKC. You know, so I can speak to, you know, all the great things they've done, you know, in this community. And a lot of times, you know, and there's so many that do that, but, you know, just because you have money doesn't mean you have to give it out. And, but they are so supportive of Youngstown and they know their home roots
and they stuck with it.
Yes.
And which is pretty awesome. I do believe the DeBartolo family and the York family, even making sure that were a stop along the way for their training when they're playing the Bills or whatever it may be. Like, I mean, those things count.
Yes.
And they're big and they should not be left unseen by everyone here. So I do appreciate them. And I love the fact that, I mean, I was born in California.
Okay.
So I was born in San Mateo. So right north of San Francisco. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, so I'm going to be a supporter of the 49ers.
Yeah, they're sort of, I guess they would be my like adopted NFL team. You know, if I'm not rooting for the Browns, I'm probably rooting
for the 49ers. That's easy. They're in a different conference.
Yeah, exactly.
So it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So ready for the rapid fire?
Yeah, sure. Fire away.
Okay. So what is your favorite local brewery beer?
Birdfish.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So next question, what is your favorite local restaurant?
Ooh, if I had to pick...
I feel like this is the hardest one people have to narrow
can
down.
Can I say two?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Homestead or Aqua Pazzo.
Okay, perfect. So what's your favorite at Aqua and what's your favorite at Homestead?
Ooh, that's a great question. It's, you know, with the pandemic, it's been several months since I've been to either place. Aqua Pazzo, I generally get like a filet, but usually I get their calamari to start. And then they have like 8 different salads that are amazing there.
Yes.
And they're, I know that we're talking beer, but they have an amazing mixed drink and wine menu there too.
Do.
So, so I'd say any of those combinations are great, great with me. And as for Homestead, I've kind of never had the same thing twice there. So I always usually tried a bunch of different things on their menu. So I've had sandwiches, I've had, you know, pasta, I've had chicken. So.
Have you tried their vegan burger?
I have not.
Give that one a shot.
Okay.
It's a little messy, but whatever.
And you did ask about the local thing earlier too. They were one of the only few places that had, I think it's called Numbers.
Yes.
It's like a blood orange.
Yes.
And that I would have to say is out of the tap one of my favorites.
Numbers wins a lot of local contests with the blood orange beer that they have.
So good.
It's pretty cool. I have a podcast with Brock with Numbers and the whole story behind the name of the brewery and actually how they eat every one of their beers has a number.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. So download that one if you have.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the last question, what's your favorite local gem of the area?
That's a tough one. I've done the entire Mill Creek Park hike
yes.
several times.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is about 16 to 17 miles.
It is.
It's, you know, we are very lucky to have a great, great park system around here, which is awesome. I know you're a runner, so you probably run it all the time.
I
try to, especially when it gets a little bit warmer, to get out there and do that several times a month. So I would say that I do like the Canfield Fair, but I'm not a huge fair person. And I live right by the Canfield Fair, yeah. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of cool.
Do you make some money by letting people park in your
yard? I'm not that close. Not that close. Just close enough to where the traffic holds me back from getting home in a quick,
you know.
But I would say that, and I'm, you know, holding out hope. I love our downtown area too. I'm holding out hope that, you know, COVID can get the hell out of here and we can, you know, get down there, because I think, you know, you included and a lot of other people are doing a lot of really cool things down there. And I'm excited for Penguin City to open up, and I'm excited for, you know, to check out the new Flea down there and all these different things. So I would think it'd be really awesome once downtown becomes a little bit more walkable and you can just hop from place to place to place. So.
And let me say this to everyone out there. The more you walk around, the more you can eat and the more you can drink.
Oh, yes. So. Exactly. You cannot go wrong with that.
No, you cannot.
You earn those calories.
That's
you
right. Yeah. That's right. So, and I do agree. Like, the city of Youngstown has been progressing forward mm-hmm. for quite a while now. And it's still moving.
Mm-hmm.
But people, we need people back downtown working, living, playing, the whole thing. So, because we have a lot of great talent and businesses down there that I personally would be a bit devastated to see them go away.
Yeah.
So,
if I could give one more from a sports perspective, too, I think the Struthers Field House. It's just such a cool place. So there's such history in there. I remember going there as a kid, and there was circus, you know, like a circus that would come in there. There'd be elephants. You know, you just remember that as being a kid, but I've coached several games in there. But I just, that gym has so much history, from boxing to, you know, different weird acts, to concerts, to all this other stuff. So, you know, it's been around for a while. So I think from the sports end, that's kind of a cool place to check out.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Justin.
Thanks, Lisa.
Here, cheers with my water.
Cheers. Yeah.